Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's important for me to have common sense with my life, and while I have told you guys before, I try to be very truthful with what I say, but also I promote common sense, stability, and reality-based situation. How can I? I mean, if I was lacking common sense, it would be impossible for me to do podcasts. I was told to do podcasts, or given a chance to do podcasts, because I have so much to say. I have education, but also I have so much to say because everything around the world naturally ignites my natural curiosity intellectually and creatively. So that is how it is. Unfortunately, as an artist, I have, like a lot of other artists, but I will say for me, in an intellectual, I have encountered things that are not reality-based or lack common sense. Like I explained, I try to be careful what I say, and you know, but when I'm talking about that, I come across people who lack common sense, who say things that ain't true, or believe something that isn't true, and still believe something despite the contrary to what it is. You know, like say I own a home. It's nobody's business, but it is true I own a home. When someone say I don't, despite the contrary, then that person continues to believe something that isn't true. You know, how do we know someone owns a home? Well, they have to have their name on a mortgage. They have to be registered with the county recorder. The mortgage company has their name. How much loan you have on the home. That's how you know. If you get a tax bill, that's how you know. It doesn't matter how you got it, because there are so many poor people in the society. Everybody got an FHA loan. You know, but some people, you know, that's common sense. But when somebody say, oh, my home is a federal home, or I don't own a home, or someone paid for it, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a home or not. I own it. What it shows is that I was attracting people who are delusional or who can't accept reality of their own situation. And that's not what I came out to L.A. to deal with. Came out to be an artist, came out to be myself. And I'm struggling in my own way. I'm very much aware of what's going on, but I don't deal with delusional people. I don't work with delusional people. I don't deal with crazy people who can't accept reality. But I came across them in my environment. Okay? So common sense is what is really truthful. If it isn't truthful, then sorry. You know, that has to be, you know, if it really isn't truthful, then that is the truth. The really real is what is actually going on, what is factually based. I will admit that I have said so many things about my music, allegations about my home, about allegations of trespassing, all that. Those were allegations. And I always have said that when I say allegations, they haven't been proven. However, if any of those weird, way-off allegations were proven, then something is wrong, because that is not right. It's common sense to know that that's wrong. You can't violate someone's boundaries. You can't take someone's song. You can't say something that is crazy, you know. Unfortunately, I want to correspond because being a creator in form of not just music, but also talking, is that I have to tell it like it is. And seeing and what I've been exposed to, I try to be very careful. But I don't deal with anything that's not truthful or some loony bin or delusion or make-believer. And I know people who I came across, some of these people try to do it to press my buttons, to incite me, to get me to say something, and then people are going to perceive me to be this way or whatever. But the point is, I am an entertainer. And that's good for entertainment, if I want to have an entertainment show. So I know that doing podcasts is entertainment. So that is very good for the entertainment situation. But I don't want to talk about a loony bin situation or something that lacking common sense. I just talk about some of the things in the past or what I perceive that happened because it doesn't make sense. It lacks common sense. And I thought it would be good to talk about because most people don't deal with crazy people or delusional people who say things or do things that violate basic rights and so on. And even if it is just an allegation, the thought of someone saying that something is wrong. But I know that in L.A., you know, they have homeless people outside and they have people with severe illnesses on the street, so I hope they do something about it. And they are, you know, starting that program to take some of these severe handicapped people who need help off the street so they can get help. But, you know, I don't want to talk about that. You know, I want to talk about my music. Because when I did podcasts, it was all about the music. But being a creator person, I know that among creators and artists, yes, a lot of artists and musicians do deal with issues related to alcohol, drugs, and mental health issues. It is very common among creators because it's hard to be a creator. Yes. I don't deal with alcohol and drug issues because I was aware of that when I first came to LA to be a star, not to go down that route because that will only make it worse. But with mental health issues, yes, just like a lot of artists, bad experiences or whatever, homelessness, yes. But I got myself off the street. I didn't stay on the street because I am well. Because it's not common sense to live on the street. But artists have, from what I've heard, just like me, have dealt with criminals or have experiences of crime, victims of crime. Artists, songwriters, singers, actors experienced crime, became victims of crimes. Unfortunately, a few have became perpetrators of crime and have dealt with crazy people. Yes, that's true. I'm one of them, but I learned the motto because I can think clearly and act clearly, you know, and to hang out and be around positive people, you know, positive people. Don't deal with evil people. Watch out who I hang out with. Because if I hang out with a negative person, or it's going to always be negative consequences. That means that I cannot hang out with a criminal, a drug dealer. I cannot hang out with someone who puts me down or someone with an evil agenda or a sociopath, a narcissist. Nobody can hang out with people like that. But they come in all forms and all colors and all religions, races, whatever. They're in every sector of society. We don't know who is a sociopath or a monster. So the best thing is we try to be nice to people and see people as good and think that everybody is good and healthy. But unfortunately, there's a few who are not. Some people, you know. So I don't hang out with someone who has who's negative. You hang out with positive people. I want to choose to hang out with positive people or just hang out with a few or don't hang out with anybody, hang out with whoever I want to. That's the American way, but a positive person. Someone who wants to be somebody, or someone who wants to be nice, or someone who's healthy. Most importantly, it has to be someone who's healthy. You know, healthy person. Take care of themselves, not someone who's self-destructive. I'm not going to hang out with someone who's a cocaine addict or alcoholic, because that's from experiences, you know, they tend to be negative. So that's how I deal with things, you know, common sense. And, you know, I want to hang out with somebody who's actually telling me the truth, you know. But, you know, we have to be careful who we deal with. You know, sometimes things change and, you know, we do the best we can, you know, because human beings alter themselves through transformation and through time to become whoever they need to be. But the way to determine who to hang out with, we look at how they treat people. Violating someone's boundaries is not a person I can hang out with. Someone who don't know how to take no, who can't take no for an answer about something, or who has a mental health issue, or who can't respect me as a person's boundaries, or respect me as a stranger, is a negative person. You don't hang out with people like that. You hang out with people who are nice and respect you and let you be you. That's how we deal with people. And then we also go to the fact that we are in a free country, and we hang out with whoever we want to. We don't go by race or creed or sexual orientation. We don't go by categories. If you love someone of the same race, or someone of a different race or religion, or if you're gay or straight, that's good. Love is colorblind. Love is, you know, love does not see categories. It see it's acceptance. So we hang out with whoever we feel comfortable with. And I experienced it a lot, which was painful, but I realized I love myself to know I can't make someone else like me. I wanted someone else to like me, and they didn't, so I had to move on, you know. That's common sense, you know. It's like, if I love someone, I have to set them free. I cannot make someone else do something that they don't want to do. We have to make our own decisions, adults, you know. But the one thing is basic common sense. You hang out with positive people, and you hang out with, and you know what a good person from a bad person, and it starts out how the way someone treat you, whether they respect you, your boundaries, whether they're healthy. You don't want to hang out with someone self-destructive. No way, that's not someone you hang out with. Again, positive people, positive consequences. For me, if I, you know, the world has gotten so complex that it's important for me to just look within and look how I fit into this world and just look at the world from that point of view. And I know I would be fine, because love is not outside of me or any, it is within me. So self-love is not on the outside. Is on the inside. Everything is skewed or temporary or don't fit. So that's the truth. And now, the reason why I talk about all these basic philosophical situations is because it helps me with being a creator. Because creating, I have to be innovative, and I have to use either the keyboard or my voice to make a song. Now, when I write a song, I'm in my home, and I'm singing along to Master Writer to get a melody, and then it's like, I like it. You know, I'm using the voice as an instrument as well as singing it. If I make up a good melody and I'm just banging my hand to the floor a little, and then I create a sound, I create a song. But it's not for anyone to hear because it's like I may not be at my best singing, you know, because I'm not always going to sing at my best. So when someone says, or someone I know said, oh, you sound like that, and I'm like, this is not for an audience. It's not for a, you know, for a critique. You know, I'm not on stage. Remember, I'm not performing as a singer in a band anymore at this stage because it's been so long time, too many rejections, and I mentioned that in a previous podcast, and I even shown my own sadness, my own mercurial emotions about it because, the Hollywood dream was so important to me, how hard it is. But I also know that life goes on, you know. Since I've been doing it 33 years, I'm a totally different person than I was when I was 19, when I came out here the first time. And I went back and forth from L.A. to New York two or three, four times before I, 94, I stayed out here. And I was trying to get those record companies to, because I made demo tapes to get them to listen to those demos, and they didn't like it. I had the misfortune. Managers didn't like it. Everybody thought my song sucked. You know, I was put down. I went through, I was chewed up and spit out by the emphasis of what a lot of our hopefuls go through, artists go through, rejections. But I transformed through time to be a lot stronger, to know that those are just opinions. And opinions are not always, they don't determine my destiny. But at the same time, you know, 33 years, you know, a lot of times it just don't happen. But it can't, but I'm telling this to you, whoever is looking at me for inspiration to go in the industry or whatever, if you believe that your dream will come true, go for it and don't give up. But I'm telling you, like from my experience, it may take some time. So if you come to Hollywood to be a star, make sure you have some money. It's not as safe as it was when I, you know, it wasn't never safe, you know. But make sure you have some money so you get in a hotel, protect yourself, experience a big city or New York City. Realize it may take some time, and time is, it depends on the person, but it can happen. It will happen. I mean, it could take years. You know, when I say that, I mean, to get to the next level, it could be, you know, starving days and starving nights. I ate popcorn for dinner two or three, 4 years, you know. I ate just popcorn because I had no money. Popcorn and soda for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I guess that messed my stomach up. That's probably why my stomach is all fucked up. But so I went through a lot, you know, walking in the sand, you know, up on the mountain so I can, because I didn't have a car. You know, I was a weird, you know, I was a gypsy. I was wanting to go to a club so bad to sing, and then I had nowhere to, I was at 12 o'clock, at 1 o'clock in 1992 and 93, and I had no transportation, and I was singing on stage, and I having a good time, and I realized, oh no, I don't have no bus, I don't have nowhere to go, so I walked several miles, 10, 20 miles, and my shoes were all torn, so I got home with my shoes all torn early in the morning. Of course, there were times where I remember I went to a show, singing at a show at the Rainbow, because, you know, like the Rainbow Bar and Grill, singing there. It's like, that's a restaurant. You know, it's like, gosh, I went down there several times. I remember going down there. It's like, oh, you know, and I sung my song. And, you know, I went there as just by myself because I was just one of these hopefuls singing in front of people. Because I knew I had to do it because that's the place to do it. Cook up the teaser, then there's the whiskey, there's the Roxy. So, you know, you know, it was really enlightening. When I really first down there, it's like, oh, all these rock star pictures, you know. But I didn't want to deal with that. It's like, I ain't come out here, you know, I come and just concentrate on my voice, you know, or writing a song. Or then it was like when I was became a registrant with BMI in West Hollywood at 21 years old, broadcast music, because, so there's a lot of experiences. So I've been through a lot. But that was the dreams, you know. You know, at that time, I was not as strong and, you know, and dealing with a lot. But the truth was I was. But I was so determined and was more fearless. I would go up to a record company in West Hollywood and give them a demo tape. I said, sign me. You know, I was really that ambitious, but I was put down. I was judged by the way I looked. I didn't know where I was going, but I had a lot of experience. And I don't regret it, you know, in the sense of going for that dream. I don't regret it, but I do regret that I had the misfortune of not seeing it come true to the point where I could get recognized. But that recognition, honestly, is very hard to get to. In general, it really is. Very few can get it. I mean, really, look at how many millions it takes to millions of people out here, you know. But I am grateful that I got on broadcast music. I am grateful I got it released to the public and in a professional level. So I'm still at the bottom, but still, I got to that level. So it's really hard. And a lot of people gave up, and a lot of people have, you know, left. I've met people who were in the industry in the 90s, and they left L.A. because they didn't, you know, gave up, or they didn't make it. And then there were people, sadly, I don't know what happened, but I heard all these stories, you know, people having these ambitions and coming to L.A. And you know, it's really a tough situation because it's so cluttered with people like me who wants to make it as a singer or a songwriter. But I'm a songwriter now because time has changed and I got more educated because I had to go back to college because it didn't happen when I was 20. I came out here in 19. And I was 20. It's like it was like, and then I had to go back to college and worked here. Now, outside of music, it was the same thing. It was a struggle. It was almost like, God, it's a struggle to get a job at a school. You have so many people. But that's the thing is about I paid my dues and I say yes. Some people have said I didn't earn it. Well, that is what I will not listen to that because that's lacking common sense. If I spent all these years struggling, I mean, I would not listen to someone who lacks common sense. Okay, that is, you know. But regardless, I learned no pain, no gain. So, you know, I didn't know when I was 19 that if I'm going to make it, I have to, you know, I have to earn it to some degree because I would not appreciate it. It would make me stronger. So I know that I have to work hard. I have to take lessons, and I have to play the piano, and then I have to go out and sing, and then I have to go get a band, and then I have to do all that. First, I have to get a place to live, and then I have to go. I did all of that, and it was still a struggle. By the time I got through all of it, I was pretty much chewed up and spit out. And, in fact, the truth is I barely survived. I went through some being a victim of crime, being a victim of things, you know, getting robbed, getting beat up. Yes, I experienced all that. You wonder how I survived. Well, I was lucky. So I guess God is on my side, but I paid my dues. So my dream didn't come true. My dream didn't come true in that time, but I still go for that dream. So if you guys see me sounding sad or melancholy, yeah, all those years, you know. It really was recently where I realized I had to really look at it just accept, I couldn't accept the time or what, the 33 years, but at the same time, I'm not giving up. So I don't live life on my own terms. I already have a very, very difficult life, more problems ever. I still have problems as a starving artist. When I say starving artist, it means someone who's not making much money or any money. I'm not making no money for my music. In fact, the royalties, you know, you talk about royalties, pennies. I am grateful that BMI, you know, they haven't registered my songs last, you know, I don't know. But I got 459 songs on there. I actually written a lot more. But when I'm in my home, I'm not singing for the world because I do that in the recording studio. I may be singing, and if I'm collaborating, I may be banging on something and trying to make up a melody. And it's not for the microphone because that would be different because I would be doing that, and then I would have to drink tea. Before I get to the studio, I have to drink tea and do, you know, exercise, do all these vocal exercises up and down, which I don't always do, or perform all these vocal exercises to, you know, to get that strength to do it. The high registers come and go, you know, it's like hit the high note and then I can't hit it, you know, it's just part of the situation, but it's really singing my lower voice because I'm in the studio for so long. If I could just sing it, just go in there and sing it for a few hours, 3 hours, and then go, come back another time and then do the music, that would be, it might sound a lot different, but that's because of money. I'm a poor person trying to write a demo. But the band situation never took off, you know. We went out, you know, the most we did was go out to a gig and sing, and then we break up. Because the guys didn't think it was, you know, they didn't want to waste time on the group. Or, you know, we do public access, hear a show, and then one of the guys break up. You know, it really is. So that's what that was the misfortune. So I went to the solo artist because it's like back solo artist, band, solo artist, band, solo artist, band, solo artist, band, and then solo artist, and that's it. You know, but that's, you know, I paid my dues because I know there's no pain, no gain. So I paid my dues. I tried to do what I need to do to better my voice. I went out there and sung on stage. I did it. I have nothing to prove. So if I'd done all those years, then I have nothing to prove. So I don't care what anybody say. If they don't see me sing, I was like, well, would you see all those years and all through the 90s and then 2000 and then 2001 I'm over there, and then 2002 I'm over there, 2003 I'm over there, 2004 I'm over there, 2005 I'm over there. No way. I wish I could have been one of those people who made it so fast, but really those guys didn't make it fast, but they were luckier, you know, they made it young, you know. So I get inspiration from the Hollywood artists who made it in pop and rock. You know, they have the dream that I want. They came out here and they did it. So the Guns N' Roses, or to Sheryl Crow, or to Melissa Etheridge, or to, you know, or to Prince Roger Nelson. He came out here and signed a contract before he became a star. Or to Poison, Motley Crue, because they made it. You know, they got signed to a major label or label and got on the Billboard chart and hit a platinum album. That's when you make it. Getting, you know, into the industry and not getting, you know, not getting nowhere and still struggling, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get to that level, that you know, the chart, you know, the gold album or the, you know, that's the goal. You can live off the, or have my songs heard from somebody like Diane Warren. She made it as a songwriter in Hollywood. So, you know, those are people I get inspired by. But despite of it all, I had to look at myself and say, I've done a lot. And I know I paid my, you know, I paid my dues in more ways than one, and I did the best I could. So with that, you know, if this is the sunset of the dream of the live performer, I am still not giving up because I'm still a professional songwriter. So whatever happens, I did the best I could. So I have to award myself and make myself aware of what I've done, that I didn't get the chart topper or the actual success that's required to feel good to be a success in Hollywood. But I did get, I am a professional level, and I did get to the level. You know, but I just would love to be recognized, but the most important recognition is I recognize myself. But at the same time, it's difficult to go for a dream like that, because as such, it's no guarantee. It's like the lottery system. But one day at a time is all I will say. And I will continue to talk about that and other topics next time. Thank you from Dove Knight.